booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Happy Monday. I hope you had a nice weekend, a great Father's Day weekend for all you fathers out there. If your father is still with you, count yourself lucky. I'm fortunate enough to still have my dad. I know a lot of other people who aren't, my wife included. And it's always really special whenever you get to spend some time with your father on any day, but especially on Father's Day. If you're a father yourself, I hope you got to spend some time with your children. But here we are, the start of a brand new week, and there is a ton of stuff happening. And I'm going to tell you all about it for the next 90 minutes. Christian is dutifully working the controls. Sid Rosenberg has sports. Joe Nolan has traffic and transit on the sevens. Deb Valentine has all the news that's fit to listen to. And Barry Goldsmith will have your Jet Set Juliet travel update. I'm not sure if we can still call it a Jet Set Juliet travel update when she's not here. And in our newsmaker segment, Michelle Caruso Cabrera will tell us why she thinks what she should have your vote in tomorrow's primary election for controller. The nation's first cruise in 15 months is underway. Royal Caribbean's Freedom of the Seas set sail from Miami last night and returns tomorrow. It has about 600 passengers traveling with a crew fully vaccinated against the coronavirus. Now, the short test trip is required by the CDC so cruises can fully restart next month. The company says this will prove its new safety protocols work, calling the voyage a very important moment. And tropical depression Claudette is expected to grow stronger again after killing at least 13 people in Alabama. 10 of those happened in a crash. 8 children were in a van headed home from a beach vacation when they collided with an SUV that had a father and baby inside. A 3-year-old and a man were also killed when a tree fell on their house. A woman lost their life driving into a creek. The storm is now headed towards the East Coast. Hopefully we'll have a little bit of an update on that when we do weather with our friend Lloyd Lindsay Young. Let me say hello to Joe Nolan, who has traffic and transit every 10 minutes. How was your Father's Day, Joe?
Really great. Saw my son Brad and my granddaughter Madeline, and it was just wonderful. Had a great, great time. Just wonderful.
Well, that's nice. And you should know, obviously everybody really enjoys your traffic reports, but since it's just me here today, no Juliet, you should feel free to make these traffic reports as extended as you need them to be. Go ahead and take your time, be as detailed with traffic, transit, even if it involves traffic in other cities. You never know who's listening in other cities as well.
Well, I'd probably get you Philadelphia without any kind of an issue at all. That'd be easy. But all right, we're going to start right around here. Right now, he's been on the belt at the Sunrise Highway, an accident. One lane going to be out of service. Again, that's on the eastbound Bell Parkway all the way on out at the end there, the Sunrise Highway. In fact, they used to call that the Laurelton Parkway, that little stretch of Bell Parkway out there. Now, other than that, really not a lot for you to worry about. LIE, Northern, Southern states, all three doing well coming in from Nassau County into the city. Same thing in New Jersey at 82, 82, 87. Northbound Garden State Parkway moving right along, although there's a little more volume than usual. What a lot of people are doing now, Frank, is there's because the traffic has been so bad on Sunday night on the Garden State Parkway. What a lot of people are doing is they're staying overnight if they can on Sunday and then get up real early in the morning on Monday and head north that way.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so there's a lot of extra. It's moving great. There's no problem, but there's a lot of extra traffic, and instead of sitting in that mess, that's what they do. Now the Long Island Railroad on the Oyster Bay branch today and tomorrow between Oyster Bay and Mineola. Track work, so as a result, there'll be buses instead and alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today going to be in effect. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. More headlines in just a little bit. But first, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce one of the greatest weathermen who has ever lived, one of the greatest broadcasters in any medium, the one and only Lloyd Lindsay Young. Lloyd, how's the weather looking?
Hello, Newark. Good morning, everybody. Lloyd Lindsay Young with your WABC weather. Here's what's going on. Another cooker today. Hot and humid. Maximum temperatures this afternoon, about 90 degrees. Gentle winds out of the south. Now, here's the good news. A cold front is coming in late tonight and tomorrow. Possibility of showers and thunderstorms tonight. Overnight low near 70, but much cooler tomorrow. Thunderstorms likely. Tuesday's high, get this, only in the upper 70s. We have a big heat wave in the west. That means cooler in the east. So kind of hot today, but much better tomorrow. And the balance of the week, nice and cool. Lloyd Lindsay Young reporting, WABC.
Thank you, Lloyd. A stellar weather forecast, my friend. Well done. All right, more headlines in just a bit. All right. Actually, we have some headlines coming your way right now. More than Dateline Atlanta, Georgia, more than 100,000 people are finding out they're no longer on Georgia's voting rolls. The Secretary of State revealed his plans Friday to purge those who've either moved or haven't been active since 2012. He said it was key to the integrity of elections to have the voting list updated. Voters will have 40 days to respond in order to restore their active status. Dateline Moscow, Russian officials are charging a man in the death of an American student. Catherine Saru was found Saturday, 4 days after she vanished. Court documents say the suspect saw the 34-year-old waiting at a bus stop and offered her a ride. He then allegedly killed her about an hour later in a wooded area, stabbing her twice. Saru was a California graduate student and former Marine studying at a school east of Moscow. Well, I imagine we may hear more from Sid Rosenberg about this later, but in the event that we don't, a former sports journalist is opening up about the time she claims a Major League Baseball player raped her. In an essay for the New York Times, Kat O'Brien said she didn't feel comfortable coming forward in 2002 because she thought it would ruin her career. She also feared the league would take the player's side. She claims he told his teammates what happened and was then badgered with what she calls smaller daily assaults. Let the shopping frenzy begin. Amazon Prime Day has started. The two-day sale kicks off summer with more than 2 million discounts. Examples of the tech deals include a Sony 85-inch 4K TV for $1,800, $100 off an Insignia 43-inch 4K TV, 34% off Amazon Echo Buds, more than half off an Acer Chromebook, and 30% off a Samsung gaming monitor. Rival retailers are also offering their own markdowns. Two movie sequels are topping this weekend's box office. The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard pulled in $17 million in its debut, bumping A Quiet Place Part 2 to second. The animated family movie Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway, came in third with $6 million. Studios are seeing higher earnings since theaters reopened after being shut down for more than a year due to the pandemic. Well, Dateline Dubai, only fans who are fully vaccinated against COVID-19 will be allowed to attend next year's World Cup. Qatar will host the tournament, and the prime minister says the Gulf Arab state is in talks to secure 1 million doses of the vaccine in case global vaccinations lag. Qatar will host the four-week tournament in November 2022, and Soccer World's governing body, FIFA, says the matches will be played in full stadiums, which is why they're placing such an emphasis on vaccination. Maine Senator Susan Collins and New Hampshire Senator Jean Shaheen have reintroduced an anti-discrimination bill in Congress. The legislation would prohibit discrimination against jurors in federal courts based on their gender identity or sexual orientation. The Republican Collins and Democrat Shaheen say they've committed to making the country's judicial system free from prejudice. There's no word yet if or when the bill will come for a vote on Capitol Hill. It is the first day of summer, and travel is likely to carry a full load of challenges. We're going to get into this with our Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40. But travel experts are already saying that Americans who are planning to book a summer getaway better book something now. Room rates are high because of demand by millions who are ready to get out on the road now that COVID-19 cases are dropping. Prices dipped last summer when most folks were stuck at home, but the experts warn that demand and prices are back to 2019 levels or possibly even higher. Well, it is the end of the road for the Brooklyn Nets. Here to tell you about that and everything else that's happening in the world of sports is distinguished sports update analyst, sports update specialist, and the co-host of the Bernie and Sid Show, Sid Rosenberg.
Good morning, Frank. Yes, the Nets, that was Saturday. They are done. Shocking. Lost at home 115-111 to the Milwaukee Bucks. Basketball season officially over in New York. And a shocker last night, the Atlanta Hawks. They make it to the second round for the first time in 50 years. They took out the one-seed Philadelphia 76ers. So the Bucks and Hawks will play for the right to represent the Eastern Conference in this year's NBA Finals. But the big news tonight is the Islanders. They've got a chance to move on to the Stanley Cup Finals with a win in Tampa against the Lightning. They will drop the puck. 8 o'clock tonight, the Islanders lead this series 3-2. Here's Isles head coach Barry Trotz on the enthusiastic Islander fans.
My stop at Starbucks or, you know, filling up with gas and people are coming over and talking about, you know, wishing us good luck. But what they start talking about is their experience growing up in the Coliseum, you know, going to games with their parents, your grandparents, whatever.
My bad. That series is actually 2-2, not 3-2. So the Islanders will not win the series or the win tonight. They'll get one step closer. 2-2. The Mets. They did not get the win yesterday. They lost 5-2. What a weekend for Kyle Schwarber, the former Chicago Cub. Sets a Major League Baseball record. He had 5 home runs in 2 days, including 3 home runs yesterday to Juan Walker and the Mets. They lose 5-2, but they're still in first place. 4-game lead on the Phillies, 5-game lead on the Braves, and I've got 4 tickets to tonight in Queens from Mets and Braves. By the way, the first time Citi Field will be at 100% capacity in a long time. 3 times in 30 days. That's nuts. That's how many times the Yankees have gotten a triple play. And they needed it last night to hold down and beat the Oakland A's 2-1. They won the last 2 games of that series. They're now 4 back of the Rays, 4.5 back of the division-leading Boston Red Sox. They beat Oakland by a final score of 2-1. Here's skipper Aaron Boone on the Yankees' 3rd triple play in 30 days.
I'll tell you what, it's exciting to be a part of that when it ends the game, in a tight game. So, great job by the guys, and great job by Chappie just continuing to make some pitches.
And congratulations to John Rahm. He birdied 17 and 18, first time ever at Torrey Pines to win the U.S. Open for Rahm, his very first ever major victory. But again, the big news in sports tonight, Game 5, Isles and Lightning from Tampa Bay. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers with sports at 15 and 45. I'm Sid.
He is Sid, and at 5:17, we've got traffic and transit on the Severns every 10 minutes with Joe.
Well, we're still doing very well out there. We do have some issues, though. First of all, on the Belt Parkway eastbound, east of the Sunrise Highway, apparently there is an accident as you start to come up and really to get up towards the area of the Cross Island. So right where the Sunrise, the Cross Island, and the Southern State will come together, that's what you got. Eastbound on Route 78, coming into the Newark side of the Bayonne Bridge, you've got delays there. Again, earlier issues have now been cleared. The Newark Bay Bridge, not the Bayonne Bridge. Also, some problems as you travel on the Long Island Railroad this morning. Again, buses on the Oyster Bay west of Mineola. This because of track work, and that apparently will be all day. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are in effect. So we are in very good shape. Really no issues out there except for that Belt Parkway. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. Will the fears of a COVID resurgence put a stop to the upcoming Olympic Games? I'll tell you in mere moments.
This is the WABC Early News.
5:20. Quite a bit happening on Wall Street today. The opening bell rings this morning as Wall Street welcomes a fresh trading week after closing out last week in the red. Stocks fell sharply Friday amidst investor concerns the Federal Reserve could start raising interest rates much sooner than expected. All three major indexes were down nearly 1% or more. At the close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 533 points to 33,290. The S&P 500 lost 55 points. The NASDAQ fell almost 131 points. And you can count on a full load of economic reports this week, starting with May's existing home sales Tuesday and new home sales on Wednesday. Thursday brings the weekly look at first-time unemployment claims and durable goods orders. Personal income and spending for May wind up the week's reports on Friday. And finally, the first cruise from a U.S. port in 15 months is underway. Royal Caribbean's Freedom of the Seas set sail from Port Miami yesterday for what the CDC is calling a simulated cruise. About 650 Royal Caribbean employees and their guests are on a two-night loop to demonstrate it's safe to sail on cruise ships with COVID-19 still circulating around the world. Cruise lines have been essentially banned from the U.S. after onboard outbreaks killed passengers and crew last year. So we'll see where that goes. We're certainly wishing the entire industry the best of luck.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
It is 76 degrees. This, the first day of summer. We'll have weather with Lloyd Lindsey Young and sports with Sid Rosenberg in just a bit. Tokyo Olympics organizers are setting up group rules for this summer's games, including no more than 10,000 spectators at an event. The games are going forward after last year's pandemic postponement, despite a majority of Japanese doubtful. The nation is still struggling with COVID-19, and the public is worried about the games becoming a super spreader event. Organizers are also requiring masks in venues at all times and aren't selling any more tickets. The 10,000 spectator cap announced today will only be announced provided a venue stays at or below 50% capacity. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos is about to go blasting off into space. And thousands apparently don't want him to come back. Two online petitions have collected more than 40,000 signatures from those who'd rather see the billionaire stay in space. The creator of one of the petitions argues Bezos is, quote, an evil overlord hell-bent on global domination, close quote. He's set to launch on his company's Blue Origin's New Shepard rocket in July of 2020. And Sunday marked the summer solstice, better known as the first day of summer, but also International Yoga Day. And once again, the occasion was marked with yoga mats around New York City. Douglas Stewart, co-founder of the event, says it started with three people 19 years ago and has grown exponentially since then to comply with social distancing guidelines. Classes were smaller than previous years, with about 3,000 people showing up yesterday. And this is an interesting story that certainly caught my attention. A visitor got free entry into a Boston aquarium by using a ticket that was almost four decades old. Oh, yes. The young woman was given a late gate ticket to the New England Aquarium from her great aunt, who kept the ticket in her bag for 38 years. The ticket specified it would allow a return visit at any time in the future, but no expiration date was given. The ticket stopped being used in 1983. How fun is that? A man in Mississippi is paying his debt for placing last in his fantasy football. Lee Sanderlin documented his experience on social media as he had to spend 24 hours at a Waffle House in Brandon. However, for each waffle he ate, an hour was taken off the clock. In total, Sanderlin spent 15 hours at the restaurant, which means He consumed 9 waffles in that span. In his online posts, he praised the staff of the restaurant for allowing him to stick around, adding he is never eating waffles again. Protesters were out in Palm Springs, California for last night's unveiling of a 26-foot statue of Marilyn Monroe. The Women's March Foundation and several other groups plan to stage a demonstration to object to what they call the sexual objectification of a beloved Hollywood legend in the Me Too era. Local residents also claim that the statue infringes on the views of Coachella. Coachella Valley's natural landscape. 17-ton statue called Forever Marilyn has been displayed in cities around the U.S. The sculpture recreates the iconic moment in the 1955 Billy Wilder comedy, The Seven-Year Itch, when Monroe's dress flies up towards her waist as she stands on a windy New York subway grate. And you might remember one of Marilyn's co-stars was Jack Lemmon. May seem hard to believe that we have Marilyn Monroe news and Jack Lemmon news in the same morning, but that is exactly the case. And I will bring it to you in just a few minutes after we hear from Deb Valentine with the news and the one and only Joe Nolan, who's got traffic and transit every 10 minutes on the 7s. Hello there, Joe.
Hi, Frank. We got a new problem. This one's going to be on the Throgs Neck Bridge. As you just get off, this is Queensbound. A disabled vehicle in the right lane. Get over to the left. We also had a problem earlier on the Cross Bronx westbound at the Sheridan. That now has been cleared. You're backed up to the Bronx River Parkway. Now, on the Bell Parkway eastbound at Sunrise Highway, an accident again. One lane out of service. Now, Metro North also had some earlier issues. It looks like that's been cleared up, but we still have that issue on the Long Island Railroad buses on the Oyster Bay branch west of Mineola. That for track work. Mass Transit, other than that, good. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are going to be in effect. And this report is a service of Napa Auto Parts, whether it's offering curbside or next day delivery for online orders on over 160,000 parts or getting involved in their local communities when it comes to serving you. Napa's motor never quits. That's Napa Know How. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7, Stock Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Joe. In just a minute, we're going to chat with Michelle Caruso Cabrera, one of the candidates for New York City Controller, running in tomorrow's primary election. But first, Deb Valentine has all the latest news that's fit to listen to. Hello, Deb.
From around the world to around the block, this is your 77-second news update from the RSCSolutions.com news desk on WABC.
I'm Deborah Valentino. It's a deadly weekend across the United States. The Gun Violence Archive reports 7 people in all killed and at least 45 people wounded in shootings all across the country. Still no travel to and from the United States and Canada. The Department of Homeland Security has extended those COVID-19 restrictions on non-essential travel between Canada and Mexico. They're in place until at least July 21st. Well, 2 suspects at large this morning after a campaign worker for New York City mayoral candidate Eric Adams was stabbed with an ice pick. The 42-year-old campaign worker, it's a male, was putting up campaign posters in the Bronx on Saturday when some kind of an argument erupted. This volunteer stabbed at 150th Street and Morris Avenue. Here's Adams.
The police department is now investigating. There is a video, so that's going to be very helpful. And I'm sure as soon as they can speak with him, they'll find out exactly what happened.
The 42-year-old volunteer is recovering after undergoing surgery at Lincoln Hospital. Meanwhile, New York City's primary is tomorrow, featuring ranked choice voting in New York City's for the first time ever. Polls will be open from 6 in the morning till 9 at night. Well, New York City officials continue to crack down on illegal fireworks. They were a huge problem last summer, not only with injuries, but with complaints. $8,000 worth of illegal pyrotechnics seized over the weekend. 6 people arrested. Sheriff Joe Facito.
We also want to target the sellers who peddle the illegal fireworks that result in multiple serious injuries to adults and too often the children here in New York City.
So this crackdown involving federal, state, and local partners, including the ATF. A 22-year-old Weehawken man, Joseph Palacios, he's under arrest charged in the murder of his 24-year-old girlfriend over the weekend. Police arresting Palacios after they say he barricaded himself inside of an apartment of a family member in Union City. A knife was recovered. The medical examiner will make the determination on the official cause of death. Well, it is Amazon Prime Day. Today and tomorrow, this highly anticipated day, a 48-hour sale featuring more than 2 million deals. And that's your WABC 77-second news update. Now your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. A partly sunny day today, a high in the mid-80s. We have a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms overnight, the low 67. 70% chance of rain tomorrow with temperatures falling in the afternoon to 65. And that is your forecast from the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center. Right now, 77 fair skies. From the RSCSolutions.com news desk, where Mark Arzamanian will put you to work, I'm Deborah Valentine, where the news never stops at WABCRadio.com.
Entertaining and informative, it's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, thank you, 531. Juliet is off today, so it's just me, Frank Morano. Tomorrow is primary day. After a lot of waiting and watching, you will finally get to vote if you haven't already voted early. And there's been a lot of attention paid to the mayor's race, both Democrat and Republican. But some of you may not be as familiar with a lot of the other important offices that you're going to be voting on tomorrow, including New York City Comptroller, one candidate who has picked up a tremendous headwind and has a lot of people talking and has been very aggressive in running a lot of television ads, is Michelle Caruso Cabrera. You may remember her from her time on CNBC or her bid for Congress last year. And I'm very, very pleased that she joins us this morning in our Newsmaker segment. Michelle, thanks so much for joining me.
Good morning, Frank. It's a real pleasure.
So tomorrow is the big day. Explain to folks why controller is such an important job. What exactly does the controller actually do in New York City?
The controller follows the money, audits the city's books. And let me give you one data point to tell you why it's so important. The budget in the last 8 years under Bill de Blasio and Speaker Corey Johnson of the City Council has grown by more than $20 billion, from $72 billion to now more than $92 billion. And everyone listening, let me ask you a question. Does New York City feel $20 billion a year better to you? Are your schools better? Are the roads better? Do you feel safer? What about the homelessness situation? What happened to all that money? Frank, if we had spent that money better, CUNY could be free again. We had 10,000 New York City students graduate with nearly $800 million in debt last year. We could do so much more with that money if we spent it better. So that's the controller's job. Follow the money, ask hard questions about how it's being spent, and then hold people accountable. That's what I did for more than 20 years at CNBC. Same thing. It's a perfect training ground.
So
what I'm going to do when I'm controller.
If the next mayor and the new city council decides to still spend money frivolously, there's nothing you can necessarily do to stop them, but you can sort of expose to New Yorkers exactly how they're spending that money.
I can absolutely use the bully pulpit to make clear what is going on. The job is to hold the mayor and the city council accountable. And if the next mayor and city council are focused on the things that I think help New York City recover, which is bringing back jobs, helping small businesses, bringing investment and people back to New York, making sure New York is a place where people want to stay, where people want to visit and not want to leave, I'm going to be an asset and an ally. When they are working against those things, I will be an antagonist. And because I have a huge platform from my time at CNBC, because I know how to tell complicated financial stories in a way that everybody can understand, this I can be highly effective in making sure that we have quality spending.
This, if people just tuning in, we're talking with Michelle Caruso Cabrera. She's a Democratic candidate for New York City Comptroller running in tomorrow's primary election. Polls are going to be open from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Michelle, this is going to be the first citywide primary New York's ever seen with ranked choice voting. How do you feel about ranked choice voting in general? And are you doing what we've seen some of the mayoral candidates do and tell people who you're ranking second on your ballot?
I am ranking. I'm going to use the ranking system. I'm not convinced about it. I think it might be confusing for a lot of people, especially after the pandemic, especially for a primary where, you know, not that many people are engaged. So I'm a little mixed about it, but I do encourage people to rank. I'm not going to reveal my ranking.
Fair enough. Now, you mentioned Corey Johnson and his presiding over the last few budgets and the profligate spending that the city council is engaged in under his leadership. He happens to be one of the candidates you're running against for controller. And in the WABC debate that we had right here at the radio station, he said at least half a dozen times that you were a registered Republican for most of your life. If people are Democrats and they're listening to us right now, how do you respond to that criticism from the speaker that you did spend a lot of time as a Republican?
So that's untrue. It wasn't most of my adult life. I have been very open about the fact that I used to be in a different party, but I have always been pro-choice, pro-LGBT. I have been extremely supportive of immigrants and immigrant rights. I am a proud Democrat, very proud Democrat. You know, we change. We all change. Speaker Johnson talks about how much he's evolved from what he used to be when he, you know, he used to be a real estate lobbyist, but he doesn't bring that up. You know, he used to be a lot of things, but he's changed. We all change. We all evolve. So, you know, I am very comfortable in the Democratic Party. I am a proud Democrat. And I encourage all my fellow Democrats to come out and vote.
Michelle, if people want to learn more about your candidacy, your platform, or maybe even get involved in the campaign tomorrow, what's the best place for them to do that?
MCCforNY.com is my website. I would be so pleased to have more volunteers and more support.
Well, best of luck to you. As soon as we get a result, hopefully we can chat with you again on the radio. Good luck.
That'd be great. Thank you. Bye.
That's Michelle Caruso Cabrera running tomorrow in the election for New York City Comptroller. A very crowded field of candidates for controller. You have Corey Johnson, you have Brad Lander, you have Brian Benjamin, you have a number of other candidates, Kevin Parker, more candidates than I can list in only a 90-minute program. 537, one of the few people that I know that's not running for New York City controller, probably due to his New Jersey residence, is Joe Nolan.
Why not? If I lived in the city, why wouldn't you? Everybody else is.
Yeah, the New Jersey residence is not stopping Eric Adams from running for mayor. Why should it stop you from running for controller?
Eastbound on the Belt Parkway, Sunrise Highway, an accident. One lane going to be out of service as you come up to that. They're in the process of getting that out of the way. Queensbound Throgs Neck, earlier stall now, that has been cleared. Long Island Railroad, buses on the Oyster Bay branch west of Mineola, that because of some track work. That'll be today and tomorrow. And other than that, though, coming inbound on the LIE, northern southern states, we're still doing well. Also inbound at the Hudson River crossing so far, only minor delays across the board. Mass Transit looks to be pretty good. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are going to be in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
All right, we're going to continue with the Jet Set Juliet travel report, even without Jet Set Juliet. How are we going to do it? Tune in to find out. I also have all the latest business news right after this.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
540, Wall Street had a rough week last week with stocks finishing up in the red. The opening bell rings this morning after stocks fell sharply Friday amidst investor concerns about the Federal Reserve possibly raising interest rates much sooner than expected. All three major indexes were down nearly 1% or more. At the close, the Dow dropped 533 points. The S&P 500 lost 55 points, and the NASDAQ fell almost 131 points. American Airlines says it will cancel 1% of its flights in July so they can ensure they take care of their customers and minimize surprises at the airport. It announced Sunday the uptick in travel demand as they struggle with labor shortages and unprecedented weather is behind the move. Most airlines are seeing more bookings as Americans feel safe to travel in the latter stages of the pandemic. Speaking of travel, even though Juliet is off, we are still going to do the Jet Set Juliet travel report. And we have one of the world's finest travel experts. He's led tours all over the world. He's been the host of the Been There, Haven't Done That podcast and been a traveler, a lecturer on all sorts of travel-related issues. My good friend, you've heard him before, the one and only Barry Goldsmith. Barry, good morning.
Good Good morning. Thank you, Frank, for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you being willing to get up early. Now, Juliet is in Europe right now, and this past week, the European Union just opened up to vaccinated Americans. Do you have any sightseeing suggestions for people like Juliet who might be making that trip to Europe sometime soon?
Yes, I do. First of all, it's great walking around in Europe. It's going to be July. You can walk in Europe until the late fall. I mean, in Rome, you can walk year-round. So walking is out of doors. I think maybe we should start with Paris, because we've been eating outdoors. And who really invented outdoor dining? Parisians. No matter where you go, there's an outdoor cafe. In fact, during the height of the pandemic, you could start on the Champs-Élysées at the Arc de Triomphe, go from one outdoor cafe to the next, south until the Place de la Concorde, and spend all day just having café au lait and croissants from one end of the Champs-Élysées 3 miles to the other end. Anyway, here's some suggestions. Since we're in Paris, let's start with Paris. There's the Tuileries. The Tuileries goes from the Louvre all the way down to Place de la Concorde. It's one of the largest parks in the world. And every time you go there, there's something new to see. There are fountains, floral displays. And while we're there, let's go to museums set in parks. The Tuileries has two great museums, the Orangerie, which was originally the home of the Impressionists. You can go there to see Monet's water lilies. There are paintings of water lilies from the late stage of Monet's career, and they occupy entire walls, more than one story. It's really spectacular. And then if you want to see more Monet, there's Museum Marmottan, which is right on the Bois de Boulogne, another park. And here's something that is great for walking that came to New York. It's the Promenade Plantée. It inspired the High Line. The Promenade Plantée originated in 1993, and it links the Place de la Bastille, and Bastille Day's coming up soon. That's where it started, in Place de la Bastille, all the way to Parc de Vincennes, one of the biggest parks in the world. And it's 3.3 miles, and it's from 1993. And there are different types of gardens. It's an elevated railroad track. And there are different types of gardens, from formal gardens to water lilies, all along 3.3 miles. And to give you a comparison, the Promenade Plantée came in 1993. The High Line, 2009. The length of the High Line, 1.45 miles. The length of the Promenade Plantée, 3.3. And you're also above traffic. Plus, underneath the High Line, there's nothing but shadow. Underneath a lot of the Promenade Plantée, in the arches of the old railroad viaduct, are artists' workshops and stores. So it's really a sight to see in Paris, and you stay out of doors doing it. Now, when you go to the Parc de Vincennes, in the Parc de Vincennes is a medieval dungeon. It dates from the 13th century.
Wow.
And on the walls, there is graffiti yet from prisoners like the Marquis de Sade. So, yes.
Dungeons, parks, and museums all
exactly.
In one Jet Set Juliet without Juliet travel report. Barry Goldsmith from the
yes.
Been There, Haven't Done That tour and podcast. Thank you very much. Maybe we could do this again later in the week.
Sure. Be glad to. And thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I did.
Hope you have safe travels home.
Absolutely. Thank you. Sid Rosenberg, what are you doing exactly?
Well, I don't know. What
happened? Well, I feel like you developed Tourette's syndrome all of a sudden.
I love that guy.
All right.
I'm sure him and I had a couple of Jägermeister shots at the Palladium back
you
in the good
so?
Old days.
You
I'm pretty
so?
Sure. Yeah.
All right.
What do you think?
What's happening in the world of sports?
We got a game five tonight, Frankie. Game five. I know you're pumped up. Islanders in Tampa Bay. 2-2 that series. They'll drop the puck at 8 p.m. in Tampa Bay tonight. One of these clubs will be one win away from moving on to the Stanley Cup Finals. We'll find out later on tonight. Yankees, it's unreal. They have now had three triple plays in 30 days. That's never happened before. And this one yesterday ended the game with a Yankee win.
This could be one, two, on the first. It's a triple play. They've done it again. Three times a charm. And the Yankees win 2-1.
Michael Kay on the call. Yes Network, Yankees beat Oakland 2-1 again. Third triple play for the Yanks in 30 days. That's a Major League Baseball record. Yanks are now five games over 500. They're inching closer to the division lead. They're just four back of second place Tampa Bay and four and a half back of the division leading Boston Red Sox. Kyle Schwarber just buried the Mets this weekend. Major League record, five home runs in 2 days. He hit three yesterday. He's got 18 on the season. Nats beat the Mets 5-2. A rough outing for Tawan Walker, who's been great this year. Here's Kevin Pillar talking about how the Mets will keep fighting.
You know, we're just going to keep fighting. We didn't play our best baseball here, but I don't think we played our worst. You know, like they mentioned earlier, I think we just ran into an extremely hot hitter, and he single-handedly was able to win some games for them.
He really did. The Mets are still nine games over 500. First place atop the NL East. Four better than the Phillies. Five better than the Braves, who are in Queens tonight for a series. I've got four tickets. And finally, John Rahm. No one's ever done this before either. He birdied 17 and 18 at Torrey Pines yesterday to win the U.S. Open and earn his very first ever major victory. Congratulations to John Rahm, who was winning the last tournament but had to leave because he tested positive for COVID. This one, he made it through. He got the win. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out at PeerlessBoilers.com, PavilionTankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. It's sports at 15 and 45. I'm Sid.
547, traffic and transit on the 7s every 10 minutes with Joe Nolan. Joe, how's it looking this morning?
Well, on the Bell Parkway eastbound, Sunrise Highway, we've been telling you about that accident. That now is out of the way. All lanes have been reopened eastbound on the Bell Parkway coming into the Sunrise Highway. Queensbound Throgs Neck, an earlier stall there. That also now is out of the way. If you're coming inbound Brooklyn Bridge, left lane closed again. Been hearing about them building that bike lane on the Brooklyn Bridge. So that left lane now inbound is out. And apparently that'll be forever. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are in effect. The support of service of Napa Auto Parts, whether it's offering curbside or next day delivery for online orders on over 160,000 parts or getting involved in their local communities when it comes to serving you, Napa's motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. I'm Joe Nolan, traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Joe. We'll have weather coming up in just a minute and more of the latest headlines you need to know.
This is the WABC Early News.
Good morning, 10 minutes until 6. This is the WABC Early News. And here with the weather is the legendary weatherman and broadcaster, Lloyd Lindsey Young. Hello, Lloyd.
Hello, Brooklyn. Good morning, everybody. This is Lloyd Lindsey Young with your WABC morning weather. Temperatures hot and stuffy and humid today. Oh, the humidity is going to be up there. Maximum temperatures near 90 today. However, the great news, a cold front coming into the tri-state area tonight. Yeah, there'll be showers and thunderstorms late tonight, more likely even tomorrow. But the great news, high temperatures tomorrow, only in the upper 70s, below normal, very comfortable. And looking ahead at the rest of the week, temperatures continuing below average with highs only in the mid to upper 70s. But another heat wave is forming out west. So naturally, the Northeast is nice and cool. So heat relief on the way after today. Lloyd Lindsey Young, WABC Weather.
Thank you, Lloyd. A Malibu home that once belonged to a two-time Oscar winner is up for sale. Jack Lemmon's Broad Beach House is on the market for nearly $13.5 million. The actor, born John Euler Lemmon III, paid $150,000 for the waterfront property back in 1971. The home sits on about 3,300 square feet and features three bedrooms, four bathrooms, a living room, a vintage fireplace, and a solarium that doubles as a breakfast nook. There's also an upstairs terrace that overlooks the ocean. Lemmon appeared in several hit films during his long career, including Some Like It Hot, The Apartment, The China Syndrome, and Grumpy Old Men. He won a Best Supporting Actor Academy Award for his performance in the 1955 movie Mr. Roberts. In 1974, he won a Best Actor Oscar for Save the Tiger. Jack Lemmon died in 2001 at the age of 70.
6. I'll tell you, if I had that $13 million, $13.5 million, I'd buy that house. All right. Ranked choice voting is being used for the first time in New York City's Democratic mayoral primary. But how exactly does it work? If you're still not clear, listen closely. Voters rank up to 5 of the 13 candidates that are running based on their preference. Once the polls close on Tuesday, it's highly unlikely a single candidate will have more than 50% of the vote. So at that point, the candidate in the last place is eliminated, and the votes for that candidate are then reallocated to whichever candidate those voters ranked second. Clear? Good. This process is repeated, even if one candidate passes the 50% threshold, until there are only 2 candidates left, with the leader then declared the winner. Speaking of the mayor's race, a volunteer with Eric Adams' mayoral campaign was stabbed while canvassing in the Mott Haven section of the Bronx yesterday. Police sources say the 42-year-old victim was near 149th Street and Morris Avenue when 2 men approached him, stabbed him multiple times. Adams told reporters at a campaign event later that the volunteer had been stabbed multiple times with an ice pick, that he had a punctured lung and is reportedly in stable condition. An ice pick and knife were found near the scene, but police have so far not released a detailed description of the suspects. A family is still traumatized after their 2 children were caught in gunfire in the Bronx. Local officials say the parents sent their children across 172nd Street to buy bread when gunfire broke out around 6:45 Thursday night. Video shows a man pummel the children as he tries to avoid getting shot, with the suspect pointing a gun right near the children while the girl tries to protect her little brother. Police have realized an image of the suspect. That police have released an image of the suspect, hoping someone comes forward to identify and locate him. Meantime, the Yankees hosted the brave little girl and her family at yesterday afternoon's game against the Oakland A's. It's very nice. Commuters driving across the Brooklyn Bridge will see a change in traffic patterns. Starting tonight at 9 p.m., construction gets underway on the bridge's 2-way protected bike lane. The work on the bridge's innermost westbound lane is expected to last until the fall. Once complete, a concrete wall will separate cyclists from vehicular traffic. Citi Field will be welcoming fans at 100% capacity today. No social distancing or proof of vaccination will be necessary when the Mets play a doubleheader against the Atlanta Braves. It comes a day after the Foo Fighters made COVID history, hosting Madison Square Garden's first post-pandemic concert at 100% capacity. The NYPD is looking for at least 2 people behind several gunpoint robberies across New York City. Cops say the suspects pull a gun on the victims and forcibly remove their necklaces before fleeing the scene on a scooter. The pattern was first reported Monday, June 7th. Since then, the thieves have struck twice in the Bronx, once in Queens, once in Manhattan. No injuries have been reported during the robberies, thankfully, but cops have released surveillance footage of the suspect, asking anyone with information to come forward. One woman is in critical condition and 5 others are hurt after a Jeep crashed into them in the Bronx. Cops say the truck jumped the curb early Sunday morning near 170th Street and Sheridan Avenue in Claremont. People in the crowd tried to stop the Jeep from driving away, but a passenger fired shots, separating the group. Witnesses say the car was driving more than 60 miles an hour while authorities continue looking for the suspects. And New York City is just one day out from the primary election. According to the New York City Board of Elections, more than 191,000 New Yorkers hit the polls early this election cycle. Polls will remain closed today, but will reopen at 6 a.m. tomorrow until 9 p.m. at night. So nearly 200,000 people have already voted early. Yesterday was the final day for early voting. And again, polls will be open from 6 a.m. until 9 p.m. If you're not sure where to vote, you can go to the Board of Elections website, or you can call 212-VOTE-NYC. That's 212-VOTE-NYC. Only registered Democrats and Republicans are eligible to participate in tomorrow's primary elections. And, of course, you'll have to be a New Yorker, which eliminates Joe Nolan, who does have traffic and transit on the sevens. Hello, Joe.
Yeah, but I'm from originally from Hudson County, New Jersey, where the mantra was, you know, vote early, vote often, you know. So, I mean, you should be not.
Chances are they'll let you vote then.
I wouldn't doubt it. Bell Parkway eastbound, we're slow to Sunrise Highway. An accident, one lane out of service, Frank, as you get through there. Was out of service as you get through there. That accident now has been cleared up. Queensbound, Throgs Neck, earlier stall has been cleared. Coming inbound, Brooklyn Bridge, as you said, that left lane is out now. That's forever. Again, they put in a bike lane instead of having cars go through there. Long Island Railroad, again, on the Oyster Bay branch. Could be some service changes through there west of Mineola. That for track work. Mass Transit, everybody pretty much on or close to schedule. I learned something this morning. I had no idea out at Kennedy Airport there was a Pan Am Road. I had never heard that before. It's by the JFK employee parking, and there's an accident there. So if you park in that parking lot on Pan Am Road, you're going to have some issues. And alternate side again today is in effect. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. New York City is sending three employees with the Emergency Management Office down to Puerto Rico. A member of the police department will also head down there for the next 4 days to provide emergency preparedness training to senior leaders in San Juan. The deployment is part of a partnership between the two cities. More than 660,000 Puerto Ricans live in New York City. New Jersey hits its coronavirus vaccination goals ahead of schedule as new infections remain low. The Garden State reported just 148 additional cases yesterday, while confirming three deaths. Just under 300 people are currently hospitalized across the state, which is the lowest number we've seen since the spring of 2020. Governor Murphy reports more than 4,789,000 New Jerseyans are now fully vaccinated. All right, in just a few minutes, we'll have some numbers on what New Jersey's wealth gap looks like. Also, some more information on tomorrow's election. I'll tell you what's happening in the Middle East. Quite a bit of news coming out of Iran and Israel. Sid Rosenberg's got sports. I've got business. Joe Nolan's got traffic. And Lloyd Lindsey Young has got weather. But first, here's Deb Valentine with all the latest news that we can give you in 77 seconds.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, unfortunately for us, Juliet Huddy is vacationing in Italy this week. So this is simply the WABC Early News with me, yours truly, Frank Morano. I'll be with you all week, and we'll still bring you all the latest news that you're accustomed to hearing, and we'll even bring you some of the Jet Set Juliet travel updates, but in most cases, it will be without Juliet. Now, there will be some days where she's actually going to call in from Italy to tell us how things are looking in Europe. But let me tell you how things are looking in New Jersey at the moment. New Jersey is creating a wealth disparity task force. Governor Murphy announced the initiative on Juneteenth to address the state's gaping racial wealth disparity. The board will be made up of government officials and academic researchers, along with faith and community leaders. Four members have already been appointed, including Lieutenant Governor Sheila Oliver. Speaking of New Jersey, in Weehawken, a man is accused of killing his girlfriend over the weekend and trying to hide out with a family member. It was around 6 p.m. Saturday when officers found the 24-year-old victim's body in a Weehawken apartment. Hudson County prosecutors say 22-year-old Joseph Palacios was arrested later that night after barricading himself in a family member's Union City apartment and making threats to kill himself. Palacios was taken to a local hospital for self-inflicted wounds and is currently facing several charges, including murder. And the city of Trenton is opening cooling centers as the weather starts to heat up. Sam Naples Senior Center on Chestnut Avenue on Prospect Street are open from 8:30 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. Officials say they can run the centers 24/7 if necessary. They also say those who are homeless and single can cool off at Rescue Mission Day Center. And in terms of the national stories we're keeping an eye on, one of the things we're watching is Tropical Storm Claudette. North Carolina is bracing for possible tornadoes today after Tropical Storm Claudette took 13 lives in Alabama. 10 of those happened in a freeway crash. 8 children were in a van headed home from a beach vacation. They collided with an SUV that had a father and baby inside. A woman died in a separate crash. A man and a 3-year-old were also killed when a tree fell on their house. The storm was downgraded to a tropical depression, but regained tropical storm strength overnight. California is now home to a 26-foot-tall statue of Marilyn Monroe. It was formally installed in Palm Springs last night after being displayed nationwide. City leaders feel it helps bring tourists back after the long pandemic shutdown, but protesters chanted, saying it sexually objectifies a beloved Hollywood legend in the Me Too era. The statue depicts the late actress in one of her most famous on-screen moments. The wife of singer John Legend is threatening to sue a fashion designer. Michael Costello accused Chrissy Teigen of online bullying last week after she apologized for what she calls awful tweets against fellow celebrities. But Teigen says Costello's claims are a lie and his screenshots of the alleged messages are fake. She told Project Runway star to stop or else. She said if a lawsuit is filed, all the money will go to an anti-bullying charity. Well, 6:07, time for traffic and transit on the sevens with a gentleman who rarely cyberbullies anyone, Joe Nolan. Hello there, Joe.
And hello, Frank. And again, as you begin to travel out there this morning, we got a couple of little issues on the Merritt Parkway. There's an accident as you come down to exit 38. That's in the process of being cleared. There's also a little bit of a delay now starting to build inbound at the Lincoln Tunnel. But other than that, really not anything really overly horrible, or at least nothing out of the ordinary. On the Long Island Railroad, has a couple of issues. First of all, on the Babylon Branch, you can expect delays, cancellations, suspensions, again, a pedestrian accident near the Belmore Station. And then also on the Long Island Railroad, buses only on the Oyster Bay Branch west of Mineola. That for track testing. And alternate side is in effect. This report is service of Rocket Mortgage. Get personalized loan options, closing costs, and tax estimates all in real time. When you need a mortgage that fits your family and budget, Rocket can. When you need the ability to adjust your loan in real time, Rocket can. Rocket Mortgage. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the Sevens, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say you probably won't need a jacket today, but don't take my word for it. We have weather from the best weatherman in the business, Lloyd Lindsey Young, with the forecast.
Hello, the Bronx. Good morning, everybody. Lloyd Lindsey Young with your WABC weather report. Well, the heat and humidity, one more day, we've got to tolerate it. By the way, summer officially started last night at 11:38, day earlier than normal. The good news, we have a cold front and an upper-level low coming in late tonight and tomorrow, so much cooler tomorrow. Showers and thunderstorms tomorrow. As a matter of fact, there could be showers and thunderstorms as early as late tonight. Highs tomorrow in the comfy range, only in the upper 70s, and the balance of the week below normal. That's great news in late June. Highs only in the middle to upper 70s. So enjoy. Lloyd Lindsey Young, WABC Weather.
All right. Thank you, Lloyd. I must say, a yeoman's job you have done all morning. Hopefully we can work on something to get you back and join us for the rest of the week. Coming up in just 5 minutes, we'll have sports with Sid Rosenberg. Speaking of sports, a New Zealand weightlifter is making history as the very first transgender athlete picked to compete in the Olympics. Laurel Hubbard will take part in the women's super heavyweight category in August. She says she's grateful and humbled by all the kindness and support. The 43-year-old previously competed as a man before transitioning in 2012. She became eligible for the Olympics when rules for transgender athletes changed in 2015. Don't plan on driving to Canada or Mexico just yet. The borders are staying closed until at least July 21st. Homeland Security revealed another 30-day extension yesterday. The COVID travel restrictions have been in place since March of last year and were set to expire today. The government has been working with both countries on reopening the borders and plans to hold meetings about every 2 weeks. A Florida community is trying to heal what appears to be a tragic incident at a Pride parade. A church held a vigil last night for two men run over by a truck on Saturday. One died at the hospital. The other is in critical condition, but expected to survive. Both victims and the 77-year-old driver are all members of the Fort Lauderdale Gay Men's Chorus. Police say the driver was leading the parade and lost control of his truck. And 60 Catholic Democrats in Congress are fighting to make sure President Biden can continue receiving Holy Communion. They all signed a letter after Catholic bishops voted to rethink communion rules for pro-choice politicians. They say government has a moral purpose and elected officials should not be threatened because they support policies that aren't in line with the church's teachings. The bishops are set to meet again in November. And ranked choice voting is being used for the first time in New York City's Democratic mayoral primary. Voters rank up to 5 of the 13 candidates based on their preference. Once the polls close tomorrow, the candidate in last place is eliminated, and those votes get reallocated to whoever they picked second. The process is repeated until there are only 2 candidates left, with the leader then declared the winner. We'll have sports with Sid Rosenberg in just 3 minutes, and we'll have traffic and transit on the 7s with Joe Nolan coming up at 6:17. More than 100,000 people are being notified of their removal from Georgia's voting rolls. The Secretary of State is purging those who've either moved or haven't been active since 2012. Voters will have 40 days to respond to restore their active status. Russian officials are charging a man in the death of an American student. Catherine Saru, was found Saturday after 4 days of vanishing. Police say the suspect saw her waiting at a bus stop, offered her a ride, and killed her about an hour later. Prime Day is here, and Amazon is offering its biggest deals yet. Shoppers have been saving all weekend. The tech giant began marking items down on Friday and offering early access deals on Amazon devices, electronics, fashion, and cookware. So if you're looking to do some Amazon shopping, today is certainly not a bad day to do it. Fans of the Netflix TV series Stranger Things, well, be interested in this. Stranger Things star Millie Bobby Brown are living on a prayer. It looks like the 17-year-old is dating rocker Jon Bon Jovi's son. Jake Bon Jovi called her his BFF in an Instagram video 2 weeks before they were spotted holding hands. The new couple officially stepped out last week, taking a stroll in New York. Brown is currently filming the 4th season of the hit Netflix show, rumored to be out next year. Her 19-year-old boyfriend is an actor as well. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the gossip pages have to say about that interesting coupling. Well, at 6:15, it's also going to be interesting to see what Sid Rosenberg makes of the Islanders' chances as they continue their march towards the Stanley Cup. How's it looking there, Sid?
Well, Frank, tonight's a big one. It's game 5. They will drop the puck in Tampa Bay at 8 o'clock. Isles need a road win, of course, to go up 3-2. It's been reduced now to a best-of-3 this series for the right to move on to the Stanley Cup Finals. 2-2, Tampa Bay game 5 tonight. Once again, they drop the puck at 8. Yankees, this is unbelievable. They've now had 3 triple plays, 3 of them in 30 days. And yesterday at the stadium, it ended the game with a Yankee win over the A's.
This could be 1-2 on the first. It's a triple play. They've done it. done it again. Three times a charm, and the Yankees win 2-1.
Michael Kay on the call. Yes, Network. Yankees hold on, get their second straight win, beat the A's 2-1. Yanks, after 71 games, are now 5 games over .500, 4 back of Tampa Bay, and 4.5 back of the division-leading Boston Red Sox. The Metsies took it on the chin. Kyle Schwarber, what a series for this former Chicago Cub. Ties a Major League Baseball record, or sets it with 5 home runs in 2 days. At 3 yesterday alone, he's got 18 on the season. Tawan Walker not his best outing, and the Nats beat the Mets 5-2, the final score. The Mets are still 9 games over .500, a 4-game lead over the Phillies, a 5-game lead over the Atlanta Braves, and the Mets start a series against those aforementioned Atlanta Braves at Citi Field in Queens later on tonight. I'm going to be there. Yankees, they're off today. They're in Kansas City tomorrow. And congratulations to John Rahm, winning his very first ever major. He birdied 17 and 18 yesterday and wins the U.S. Open by 1 stroke. His first ever major win, John Rahm, yesterday's U.S. Open. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. And with sports at 15 and 45, I'm Sid.
We'll hear more from Sid Rosenberg in just 2 minutes when the good folks over at Peerless Boilers make him available to us to give us a preview of what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show. This is a Bernie and Sid show you're certainly not going to want to miss. You're also not going to want to miss any of the terrific traffic and transit information that Joe Nolan has for you. Joe, how are the roads looking this morning?
Well, on the Merritt Parkway, you've got a 2-car accident southbound coming down to Wakes at 38. That's New Canaan Avenue. It's in the process of being cleared. It's been there now for a little while. We're also going to be looking at delays on Route 202. This would be northbound in Reddington, New Jersey. One lane going to be out of service right by Route 629 with a pretty serious accident in the process of being cleared up. Now, other than that, really not a lot for you to worry about. Still only minor delays coming inbound at the Lincoln and Holland Tunnel, George Washington Bridge. Building up normally as you start to get through Queens Boulevard westbound on the LIE. Same thing up through Lower Brooklyn inbound, Gowanus, BQE, the usual delays. Now, 15-minute delays on the Babylon Branch. That because of a pedestrian accident near Belmore. And then buses only on the Oyster Bay Branch east of Mineola. That because of track work and alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Well, the opening bell rings this morning as Wall Street welcomes a fresh trading week after closing out last week in the red. Stocks fell sharply Friday amidst investor concerns that the Federal Reserve could start raising interest rates much sooner than expected. All three major indexes were down nearly 1% or more. At the close, the Dow dropped 533 points, the S&P 500 dropped 55, and the NASDAQ fell almost 131 points. A renowned business author says we will likely see a new normal when it comes to the post-pandemic working landscape. On CBS's Face the Nation, Daniel Pink says COVID-19 proved white-collar workers can work from home and be just as productive. He believes companies that look to bring all workers back to the office full-time will struggle to retain younger workers who may see that practice as old-school thinking. Pink also says the pandemic should lead to a new way of how the country treats essential workers. The author says we need to find a greater appreciation for the dignity of work, including higher wages, safer working conditions, and room for growth. Somebody that has incredibly safe working conditions on a daily basis is the co-host of the Bernie and Sid show, the one and only Sid Rosenberg. Hello there, Sid.
How are you? How was your weekend? Nice?
Far too short, far too busy.
I thought about you yesterday.
Oh.
I did, because your wife, your beautiful wife, is pregnant with your first child.
That's true.
And next year, you'll be celebrating your first Father's Day.
Yes.
And it's a great day. You know, it was bittersweet for me, obviously, because of my situation with my dad. But next year, you'll be able to celebrate Father's Day as a real dad.
I'm looking forward to it very much. What did you guys do for Father's Day? I know your daughter left town.
She left us on Friday. That was brutal, brutal. Mm. So it's just me, Danielle, and Gabe at this point. And now we just hung out together and, you know, got some sun, obviously, you can tell. I mean, I got to be the tannest
Atlantic,
guy in New York. I got to be, right? I mean, do you know anybody as tan as me?
Yeah, I don't. Christian Arnold is claiming he's tanner.
He's black!
Well, I didn't even know that. Is that true?
No, but he's Latino. He's a man of color. Let's put it that way. He's not a white Jewish kid from Brooklyn, I can tell you that.
So you were tanning at the Atlantic Beach Club?
We did some of that. We did my father's stuff, you know, and I went down to the water yesterday, and I spoke to my dad, which is nice, you know, and talked about some of the things going on with me in my life and asked him for some advice, and we'll see how well he does. So I basically did that yesterday.
Well, I mean, you look good. You look good.
And that's all that matters, right? What else matters? Oh. So we have Rich Lowry stopping by today. He's a great Monday guest, as you know, Frank. Nobody breaks down the political weekend better than him, on a national basis, of course. So he's going to stop by, the great Rich Lowry, National Review, Politico, and NBC. Joe Tacopina is going to stop by, my dear friend and Bernie's friend, the famed defense attorney. He was actually at the Nets game on Saturday night when they got eliminated by Milwaukee in that Game 7. And, of course, we'll spend a lot of time the next 2 days talking about this mayoral race, the primary coming up tomorrow. I also got a scoop on a cop in Patterson that I am telling you is going to be the next George Floyd. White cop, black guy, beat the living daylights out of him, didn't have to. The guy didn't die, but he mangled the guy.
Oh, boy.
And sometime this week, he was already arrested. His name is Finch. His name is Spencer Finch. And this promises to be a very ugly couple of days.
Oh, boy.
In New Jersey. Now, listen, I could be being overdramatic, and
let's
I may be wrong.
So.
But this could be the next George. Now, the guy didn't die like George Floyd. But, again, this could be very ugly, and I got the scoop on that.
Do you know what caused the initial interaction between the police and the perpetrator?
You know, I've got the story here, and he was beaten and arrested in the hallway of an apartment. He told the man he was under arrest for making, some crazy statements, and then he just went berserk on the guy. I have all the details here in the column. He was arrested, this guy, again. But just be prepared. It could be nothing, or it could be very ugly here the next couple of days.
Now, I noticed you worked Friday, even though Friday was the designated day for state holiday and federal holiday, Juneteenth.
You better cut that out, right?
It was a holiday.
I got nothing against Juneteenth. I talked about this last week, a couple of days, as you know. I have nothing against Juneteenth. Fantastic. Congratulations. I have nothing against every town in New Jersey raising a gay pride flag every single night. Congratulations. I'm a very liberal guy when it comes to social stuff. I'm pro-choice. I'm for gay marriage, all that stuff. My issue is you add Juneteenth to Martin Luther King and Kwanzaa, but the poor Italians, which you are, they can't have Columbus Day. How does that make any sense? That's where I get pissed off. You want Juneteenth? God bless you. Then don't screw the Italians.
It does seem like a bit of a double standard, doesn't it?
A little bit?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm sick of the double standard in society today and the pandering and whether it's African-Americans or gays and all that nonsense. And no one's going to talk about it because everybody's scared to death. But I'm not. So I'm telling you that leave Columbus Day alone. You want to have Juneteenth, God bless you. But let everybody celebrate their holidays.
Any predictions for the mayor's race tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I think Eric Adams is still going to win. I know that Catherine Garcia is making a pretty serious charge here, and Maya Wiley has her, you know, defund the cop nonsense, which will put her in a very nice niche in this city, which is filled with just awful, awful people. But I do think in the end it's going to be Eric Adams. I'd be really surprised if it wasn't.
So general election, Adams, Curtis, you don't see any surprises there?
I don't. I can't see Curtis winning. Not because Curtis is not the better candidate. I swear to God he is. I feel in my heart of hearts he really is. Above and beyond the friendship I've had with Curtis for the better part of 20-plus years,
sure.
He's got the same philosophies I've got. That's the bottom line. Eric has some of them, but he finds a way to keep both sides happy. And to me, that's double talking. That's political. That's not it. That's not a guy who has some real principles like Curtis Lee was got.
Yeah. Now, Eric Adams never ended up coming on with you guys, right?
That's correct. You know, I was told that after the three debates, and the last debate was, I believe, last Thursday on NBC, I was promised by Eric Orich. Now, look, he may have been listening when Dove Hyken came on the show last week and said, let me tell you something about Eric Adams. This guy's got a long-time relationship with Farrakhan. He may have heard that and said, oh, my God, enough already with Sid. All this guy does is bash me. I'm not going on that show. I'm giving him an opportunity to come on and dispel these rumors. Tell our listeners, because we know that he can use some white votes. He's got the black vote. He probably has a Jewish vote. The white guys out there could really help Eric Adams. He can use it. but he continues to stay away. How are you going to run New York City if you're deathly afraid of Sid Rosenberg?
Well, that's,
I mean, give me a break.
True. And, you know, he's got some other problems with Jewish voters, which is a sizable constituency in New York. Because you remember, he bashed publicly Herman Badillo for marrying a Jewish woman.
Yes.
Instead of marrying a woman of color from their community.
Right.
And it was interesting that he played the race card this weekend when Garcia was out there campaigning with Yang, saying that, this was an attempt to keep a person of color from getting elected,
yeah,
and for them to do it on Juneteenth of all days.
Of all days.
I mean, can you imagine?
The Jewish people, though, are their own worst enemy. They continue to vote Democrat. It's a party of racists. But it's a party of anti-Semites. They just don't care.
Will they vote will they vote? If you're a casually liberal Democrat Jewish voter, will they vote for someone that hangs around with Farrakhan and bashes Herman Badillo for marrying a Jewish woman?
You want the real answer?
Yes.
Yes, they will.
They will.
Yes, they will.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, the Yankees, you said that there was their first triple play.
Third
triple play. First time in franchise history. Has any team ever had three triple plays?
No, not in 3 in 30 days. Think about that.
Never happened in the history of Major League Baseball.
Never happened.
Amazing.
Major League Baseball record. That's how the game ends yesterday, and the Yankees take the wins on Saturday and Sunday.
Absolutely amazing. All right. So you have the Patterson story. You got the mayor's race and everything else that's happening there. Rich Lowry should be an action-packed day.
It's going to be fun.
That's
always starts
sure.
off great with you. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Sid.
Thank you.
It's always a treat to spend time with you. Glad you had a nice Father's Day. Sorry your daughter wasn't around. All right, 626. We will bring you traffic and transit with Joan Nolan in just a minute. I do want to tell. Actually, why don't we go straight to traffic and transit with Joan Nolan right now? Because there's a lot of traffic coming your way on this, the first official day of summer. My thanks to Lloyd Lindsay Young for doing such a stellar job with the weather as well. The Bernie and Sid Show is next. And I'll be back tomorrow. General Michael Flynn joining me on the other side of midnight at 1 a.m. Not to be missed. Suggestions for questions? Email me, frank.moreno@wabcradio.com. Have a great day. Here's Joe Nolan.